Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbaboo Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text a brother, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM 98.7 FM. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from. And to all our traditionalists across the deadly country, I was welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. Too deadly. Now, a broad cross-section of organisations and governments across Australia have called on the Commonwealth, state and territory governments to take urgent action to ensure the people who were sleeping rough are not forced back out onto the streets after being sheltered from COVID-19. We're going to catch up a yarn now with the CEO of Australian Alliance to End Homelessness. We have David Pearson on the line. David, a very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, g'day. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, we do have a massive problem with homelessness, and with the pandemic here upon us, makes people homelessness more vulnerable. There's a preventable and solvable way of fixing this problem. Yes,
absolutely. Like the problem of rough sleeping homelessness, which the Australian Alliance and Homelessness focuses on. If you think about how many people were sleeping rough in the last census, it was 7,200. And actually how many people have been temporarily sheltered in response to the COVID-19 crisis. It was 8,200 who were sleeping rough at the last census. Mm. And you think about how many people have been temporarily sheltered in response to this crisis. We're actually, some estimates might be about that or just a little bit less than that number of people have been temporarily sheltered. So they're in hotel rooms or other forms of temporary accommodation. In response to the crisis. So we have done phenomenally well in the initial responses to this crisis. But the problem we've got now is people are in hotel rooms. They're not homes. That's not sustainable. Mm. And we need to really take that next step.
Yeah, so like I said, and it's sad that we are in the 21st century and people who are homeless, we've had that problem and we need to fix it, but it just doubles the wham-bam, so to speak, in regard to the pandemic upon us, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if you think about, like, all the advice people are getting given in relation to the pandemic, stay home if you're unwell, make sure you're socially distanced, practice good hygiene, all of those things, none of that's possible if you don't have a home. And so this pandemic has really shown that, actually, this is a part of the social safety net in Australia that really ought to be a basic minimum housing. And the opportunity we've got, given the number of people that have been sheltered, is to lift that social safety net in Australia off the street. So that doesn't have to be when support kicks in.
Exactly. David, the other thing that comes to mind is the people who are out on the streets, and well, they've got no communication regarding the media, so to speak. So they could be walking in a dark tunnel, not knowing what's happening in regard to the pandemic or second wave or what have you.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that was really obvious at the beginning stages of the crisis is that the lack of understanding that a lot of people have. They've got their own issues going on in their lives and they don't follow the daily media cycle day by day. So a lot of pressure was put on homeless service providers to do that outreach and to support community people who are on the street to be aware of what's going on. And you know, that was pretty tough for a lot of the agencies who do this work because a lot of the time they're not funded to do that, that outreach, that sort of broader engagement. And big part of the homelessness sector in Australia is still funded through fundraising and charity dollars rather than being, you know, a government service that should be provided to everyone.
David, regarding the Australian Alliance to End Homelessness, what are you looking for the government to do? Is it what, get them even out of the hotels into homes themselves? But hotels are better than being on the streets, yes?
Yeah, definitely hotels is an improvement, but it's not the outcome we need. People need a home. That's the way it's going to be sustainable. So what we've done is we've asked organisations from across the country to sign an open letter to the Prime Minister, and we've had a very broad cross-section of organisations sign that, calling on the Prime Minister to use the National Cabinet process to have a response to this problem. And the response can't just be the hotel rooms.
Exactly.
It's got to be taking those next steps. And the other thing that why we think there's a role for the National Cabinet is that that there's such inconsistency around the country about what's happened. So some states have done a lot, other states have done very little. And we need a greater and more consistent response nationally. And that starts with obviously providing homes for people. But it needs the support to go with that. And one of the things that and needs to happen urgently. And even if governments were to come out and announce stimulus programs right now, because there's just not enough social housing out there, it would take some time for that housing to come on board.
Exactly.
Right? So the other thing we're calling for is therefore to be private rental subsidies to get access to a lot of the properties that are around the country that are not being utilised now that might have previously been utilised by tourism or international students or whatever it might be. Let's snap up those properties. Let's get access to them and give them give access to those properties to people who are in hotel rooms and people who are on the street right now.
Exactly.
So we want governments to do all of those things. And we also think the other thing that's really important is we can't go back to the old rate of New Start. The sort of job seeker payment at its current rate actually helps lift people out of poverty, but to go back to what it was will actually drive further people into homelessness.
Back into poverty.
So we've got sort of, that's exactly. A big part of what we're calling for as well.
So it puts a new spin on the so-called affirmation they've been running with since COVID-19, we are all in this together. Well, in actual fact, we're not, is what you're saying, David.
You're absolutely right. We are all in this together. We can't have people forced back out onto the street who are in hotel rooms right now.
Yep, all right. Well, thank you very much for sharing, my friend. Looking all the best and to your team, the Australian Alliance, to end homelessness and thinking of all our brothers and sisters out there in that situation. My friend, thank you very much. All the best. You take care.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Cheers.
Bye, David. David Pearson, his name is CEO of the Australian Alliance to End Homelessness and the unprecedented call for action from Australian governments on COVID-19 and rough sleeping homelessness. And they sort of forgotten about in regard to the situation of the COVID-19. And like I said, they're on the streets and some of them haven't got no communication regarding media and don't know what's going on. And probably know that there's a pandemic going on, but there's a second wave, or is it safe to be out? And plus, they're out in the cold as well. So, look, thoughts, hearts going out for those beautiful people. Have your say, your mob. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. You are yarning with the bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking right up at 12 noon Queensland time. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416.
A gentle heart stopped beating, and time has lost its will. For you there was no tomorrow, but your love is with us still. And we may sit and wonder at dreams of days gone by, but we will all remember as the tears flow from our eyes. But the family chain is broken, so until we meet in time, we will hold you in our dreaming and pray your star will shine. Your smiling eyes are closed now and your gentle hands at rest. It's time to say goodbye, for we know you're with the best. We will try and hide our sorrow.
Muriel man's mother. Scott and Greg Donald, Faith Barnes, I'll keep on going. It's Harrison Day, Trevor King, and Charlie Michael, it ain't nothing. Cause I got more, like Alistair Riversley, Charlie Highlight, just too easy. It's Barbara Yarry, and Kristen Jones, and Roy Walker, and on it goes. Then Daniel York, then Sheldon Cullen, then Dixon Green, or someone stop me.
Troy Cassidale here, you're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. As I, Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev Murray from Nakuri, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, acclaimed singer-songwriter Paddy McHugh has teamed up with veteran First Nations broadcaster Dan Rennie, 989, too deadly, to write a song about the tragedy of black deaths in Cussie. Can You Hear Us is the name of the track. Paddy and Dan had been working on the song for several months when the news of killing of George Floyd broke and the world began to mobilise. Today they rushed to finish the song and now introduced it to the world to add to the chorus of voices shouting Black Lives Matter. The song is simple yet powerful. The duo enlisted respected First Nations musician Glenn Scothorpe and vocalist Pauline Marty to bring it to life. Listen to Can You Hear Us Here. That's what we're going to be doing, getting that track in our deadly hands and play across the airways. But we're going to have a yarn now with Dan Rennie on the line. My brother, very good morning. How are you?
Hey, Trendy Trev, thank you for having me, brother.
To Delhi, brother. Dan, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Yeah, I'd like to just first of all acknowledge the traditional owners of the land here in beautiful Brisbane and pay my respects to elders past and present and also pay my respects to those who have lost their loved ones and continue to lose their loved ones at the hands of the so-called justice system. Mm. My people are Larrakia mob from Darwin, but I've been in Brisbane here for about 20 years, so I'm definitely a Murray as well, brother.
Deadly, we'll claim you there.
Not the Murray from the curry, though.
My father jump on you, brother. Don't do that. Look, too deadly, brother. Look, we use different tools, vehicles, to put the word out, and you as a songwriter, an entertainer, a radio man, you're using a song. In this case, Can You Hear Us, about black deaths in custody, Black Lives Matter. A very important vehicle, you could say.
Yeah, look, music, I think, is an amazing tool to get a point across. I tip my hat and respect so much to all the mob who come out for protests, the organisers in particular, who you know, put so much time and effort into getting these rallies and these protests up and running. You know, it's not an easy thing to organise, especially during COVID, with all the extra precautions that need to be taken.
And our marches are another vehicle, aren't they? Another voice.
And as you said, there's lots of different ways to get the message across. Music for me, and music for many, is something that has been a part of their life for a very long time. And even going back generations, you know, song lines were an important way to communicate, to get messages across. And it's a universal language, music, to get your voice heard. And that's exactly what we were aiming to do out of this, was to get the voices and get their names to not be forgotten,
exactly.
And hopefully, you know, move a step towards justice for these families.
Yeah, and like I said, a vehicle to help us mob not to forget our mob, Black Death and Cussie, but also to put it on the table in regard to government, to make actions in regarding protecting our mob in custody. I mean, when you're talking about 437 deaths, I mean, hello, something's wrong there, brother.
Something's seriously wrong there. And you get the people that jump out and say, you know, all lives matter, all these types of things. And you know, but the fact of the matter is, as you said, 437. And there's others that say, well, you know, a lot of them were due to suicide or
health or problems causes. Or whatever.
Yeah, but the thing is, Trev, brother, if you're sick, you don't go to jail. You go to a hospital. Exactly. If you've got mental health problems, you don't get chucked in a cell and forgotten about and you know, left to your own devices. You get put to somewhere where there's the duty of care for mentally ill people. In the case of David Dungay, you know, he was severely had mental health problems, and he was crying out, "I can't breathe," 18 times. Hello. 4 years before Brother George Floyd there.
Exactly.
But,
yes,
you know, there was no outpouring and emotion for that. You know what he was, you know what he was choked for and jumped upon by all those officers because he was eating a packet of biscuits. Come on.
Pathetic.
This has got to stop. And
it's the 21st century, for crying out loud, brother.
Yeah, and you know what? There's this ingrained racism here in this
systemic
country that Australia want to not admit. You know, the so-called leader of this country come out and said there was no history of slavery in this place. I mean, come on, mate.
Exactly. So when we say Black Lives Matter, we're not saying all lives don't matter. We're saying because of shining a light on what's happening with black deaths in custody and black people are dying in custody. That's what we're saying and highlighting that point.
Well, if all lives matter, we wouldn't have to have a Black Lives Matter movement.
Well, yeah.
As simple as that.
Yep. Exactly, brother, exactly.
And, you know, I look back to the beginning of the year, the end of last year and the beginning of this year, when we had the terrible bushfires rip through the country, and we saw, you know, the outpouring of sadness and emotion from not just here but right around the world, millions and millions of people and dollars were donated to this cause.
Well, yes, that's a case of all lives matter.
Yeah, well,
you know
we're
what I mean?
Sitting here going, where is the justice for the First Peoples of this country? You know, we're counting. We're still counting since the song's been written. There's more.
Yeah.
And rising. So let's have the same outrage for people's lives than we do for people's homes and bushland.
All right, so we need to get our hot hands on the track, Can You Hear Us? Release now, and we'll play it as soon as we can on First Nation Radio here in Cairns, and especially on this program, National Talk Black. My brothers, it's fantastic. Great to be talking with you. And a bit of background with Paddy McHugh, my brother.
Yeah, look, Paddy's an amazing artist. He's probably one of my favourite singer-songwriters in this country. He's, you know, he speaks the truth. He doesn't shy away from the facts. And, you know, if you look back over his catalogue, he's got music about Jin's Leap, that terrible spot where massacres happened down there in New South Wales, and, you know, places like Wilcannia. Mm. He has a song about Meanwhile in Wilcannia, which is about, you know, the life expectancy of Aboriginal people there. So this isn't something new to Paddy. He's been writing songs about our mob for many, many years. And
now, he Migaloo lad, eh? Gutted your man, eh?
Yeah, he's a Migaloo from...
We claim him.
We do claim him. He's one of the... He's a good man, and he writes amazing songs. So I urge your listeners to check out Paddy's stuff. But we've spoken many times about working together. We've been mates for a very long time.
Fantastic.
He, in fact, works at the Murray School here in Brisbane.
Okay, well, fantastic. So he puts his... heart in the right place, brother, behind his words and what have you. And big shout out to Paddy, and I think it's a fantastic team there. So thank you very much for sharing, my brother, and we can't wait to hear it and get it out there. Pardon the pun, but Can You Hear Us is the new single, and that's Paddy McHugh and Dan Rennie. My brother, listen, all the best. Thank you for sharing, and you take care, stay safe, and big shout out to the mob down there, 989, and keep doing what you do, my brother.
Yeah, I want to send a cheerio out to all the mob up there in Cairns, BBM, Matty, Jackie, all your mob, just you're too deadly, and thanks for letting us come on and have a chat with you, Trendy Trev. You're a star, brother.
Too deadly, my brother. You take care, eh? A beautiful yarn there. That's Dan Rennie, 989, another deadly brother that works in First Nation Radio, 989 FM. And look, he's teamed up with Paddy McHugh, and they got a new release, Can You Hear Us? And all proceeds will go to Sisters Inside, an organisation helping Queensland's most disadvantaged women and children. And look, they just teamed up to get the word out there regarding Black Lives Matter, regarding black deaths in custody, and using music as the tool to argue that point. So look, have you say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black, a voice for our people. We welcome all calls and all yarns, so please do that. And yarning with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking right up to 12 noon Queensland time. Don't touch that dial.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. Yeah, to Delhi. Welcome back, Delhi Program, National Talk Black. And so happens I do have that little track in my hot hands, and that's Delhi track there by Paddy McHugh and Dan Rennie. And the track is called Can You Hear Us? Take a listen, you mob. To Delhi.
Jai Walker and Deirdre Shorty with someone's daughter, Nathan Reynolds and Melissa Dunn, Eddie Russell, someone's son, Malcolm Smith and Roy James Boney, Joyce Clark who was someone's honey, Tony Chatfield and Bradley Coolwell, Monty Salt who was someone's uncle, Bruce Leslie, Maureen Mandajara, Milton Wells who was someone's father, Clarence Neen, Veronica Baxter, Muriel Binks, someone's mother. Wayne Morrison and Barbara Tears, need a blanket, but nothing to see here. It's Douglas Scott and Greg Dunlop, Faith Barnes, I'll keep on going. It's Harrison Day, Trevor King and Charlie Michael, it ain't nothing, cause I got more, like Alistair Riversley, Charlie Highlights, just too easy. It's Barbara Yarry and Kristen Jones and Roy Walker, and on it goes, and Daniel York, and Sheldon Cully, and Dixon Green, or someone stop me.
Yeah, deadly new track there, Can You Hear Us? And that's by Paddy McHugh and featuring Dan Rennie. So fantastic. And talking about our mob in custody and Black Death's in custody and using music as a tool to put that out there and educate the people of the world what's happening and regarding Black Lives Matter. All lives matter, yes, but what's happening in the space of Black Death's in custody, two different things. So do add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Curry, taking right through 12 noon Queensland time here on National Talk Black, and we're live at First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM, and we go cross nation thanks to NERS. Now, comment on the federal government economic update. We're going to catch over yarn now with Tim Hardcourt, Australian economist, who's the JW Neville Fellow in Economics at the University of New South Wales Business School and advisor to the government of South Australia on international engagement. On the line, Tim, very good morning. How are you?
Good to be back on your show, Trevor. Very, yes, very honoured, mate.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you for coming back. And it's good to be catching up with you. And look, here we are in the pandemic. And comment on the federal government economic update and how we're looking into the future. How does the future look in the economy?
Well, it's looking a bit better in far north Queensland and Cairns, where you are, Trevor, than it is.
Thank you. Then Victoria, New South Wales. I'm thinking of the people down that way exactly. And
yeah, very tough down there, isn't it?
Very tough, my friend. And like I said, the only vaccine we have is by the rules. Abide by the rules. That's the only vaccine we got regarding the pandemic, mate.
Exactly. I mean, that's a very good point. You know, there's been pandemics in history before, and all people had, they didn't have medicine. They just had social distancing. You know, they have got over it. So that's what we've got to do for the time being. I think the race for a vaccine is quite promising. I think the University of Queensland is doing very well, and the CSIRO, Oxford University is doing well. So wouldn't it be great if Australia and Queensland came up with the vaccine?
That would be very deadly, you know, and that'd be fantastic. It is a bit of a race for the sake of stopping the pandemic, but it'd be good to have that trophy, so to speak, and regarding, first cab off the rank, so to speak.
Yeah, it would be. No, it would be. I mean, economically, you know, it was a tough statement for the Treasurer. I mean, the good news is that we've been very sensible with the, you know, with the JobKeeper. You know, all the international economists are saying, you know, you go big, you go early, and you keep the lights on. Anyone you can keep in work, even if they're at home or whatever, you try and keep them in work. And it's worth the government paying, you know, a subsidy for the wages. It's much better than laying everyone off.
Yes.
And then everyone trying to get a job again in 12 months' time or 24 months' time. So I'm pleased that the JobKeeper has been extended. I'm pleased that, you know, they've made some amendments for Job Trainer, so young kids can get apprenticeships and get some skills with TAFE, with uni, you know, as an apprentice. I think that's very important to give young people, as you know in your work, Trevor, just give them some experience, some of the tools, experience, so to speak. So I think that's a good move. And really, Trevor, the good thing about this is that we don't run around talking about deficit and debt anymore, because really it's much better that the Australian government invest in, you know, the workers of this country to keep them employed and to give them skills to get them employed than to worry about bottom lines of deficits when Australia's got very low debt. And it's much, it'd be much worse to create 20%+ unemployment. You know, the books would look a lot worse then. So much better to, you know, keep people in work and get people job ready if we can.
But Tim, the money circles around, doesn't it? I mean, they put the money out, and then in regard to taxes on goods and services and paying tax in regard to the money you receive, it goes back into the kitty, so to speak. So it's exactly a circle, right. You know what I mean? And it just keeps the country evolving. That's all it does, mate.
Exactly, you know, and as we know, you know, people on the minimum wage, on apprenticeship wages, you know, they tend to spend most of their money on the local shops, the local community.
Exactly.
So much better to do that, much better. And, you know, you look back in history, you know, countries that ran, you know, cut wages, cut budgets and so on during the Great Depression and after World War One, they had, you know, 10 years of austerity. You know, it took a war to dig them out. So much better to keep money in the hand, you know, the pockets of the working people of this country, just to keep things going whilst we look for a vaccine and and doing all the social distancing.
And then as individuals too, we also need to take the responsibility is how we spend the money as well, you know, and not be bad with the money in that sense, you know what I mean? It's a tool, money is a tool, and we need to use it wisely.
That's exactly right. I mean, the money we have in our pocket is for, you know, food and shelter for our families, but then to invest in the community, you know, and anyone spending in Cairns in the shops and retail places, you know, visiting the art gallery, you're investing in local tourism, you're doing a lot of good for your local people. And, you know, there's so much potential in this country that we haven't explored yet. That,
exactly.
You know, that we can keep going.
And look, the other thing is some companies have risen to COVID-19 has been like an angel in disguise, so to speak, because new industries have started, or well, you look at the people who run hand sanitizers, for example. I mean, they're going through the roof regarding profitability.
They're doing very well. Yeah, a group called Gecko Systems down in Ballarat that does mineral processing, they switched to ventilators. Det Mould in South Australia, they did the same thing. And then
adaptability, flexibility.
Right. Craft breweries, gin makers are making hand sanitizers. Just make sure you get the right bottle when you.
Exactly. You know,
some hand sanitizer, do you?
Yeah, but just looking at opportunities, and that's how we need to travel with the open mind and prepare yourself for an opportunity, because an opportunity will present itself if you've got your mind and eyes and ears open, so to speak, haven't you?
Well, that's right. I mean, you've been a big advocate of Indigenous tourism in Cairns.
Big time.
And, of course, you know, a wonderful Torres Strait Islander communities. And I think that's just an area that's just in its infancy. You know, it's 1,000-plus years. But people in Australia are now starting to discover it and really liking it. And I think that's a real opportunity while...
Big potential for our mob.
...borders are closed. Yeah, while the borders are closed, the Australians are going to have a look around their own country. I think this is where they can really rediscover, you know, Indigenous culture on the Torres Strait and Indigenous communities, you know. So I think that's going to be a real boom from this COVID situation.
Well, a business opportunity that becomes an educational tool, so to speak.
Oh, I think that's right. And all the creative entrepreneurs, people like yourself, a good friend of mine, Janina Harding, who works in the...
Big shout-out, sister, yes. KIAF, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, yes.
Oh, she and I were working on Indigenous employment at the ACTU 30 years ago, Trevor.
There you go.
A lot better looking and younger looking than me, but we did it 30 years ago. We worked together on it and
fantastic.
Created a lot of jobs. And, of course, you know, kids and grandkids have benefited from those jobs created.
Yeah, that's right, and that's fantastic, and that's what true friendship's all about. And when you're in the workplace and out there networking, then you create friendships like so that last 30, 40 years, my friend. So that's fantastic to hear. And she was excited that you and I had a yarn about a month back, and fantastic that you mentioned her name, and she was asking about your mate. So it's all good, brother.
Fantastic. Well, she's a big fan of yours, I know that, given your celebrity status.
There you go, up there, mate, and reaching up for the people above. That's what it's all about. Mate, nice talking with you. Thank you very much for sharing, Tim Hardcore. You take care, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Thanks for having me on, Trevor. Really appreciate it. All the best to you and all your community.
Thanks, bro. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly Yarn there, Tim Hardcore, Australian economist, and who is the JW Neville Fellow in Economics at the University of New South Wales Business School and advisor to the Government of South Australia on international engagement. And he's commented on the federal government economic update and the fact that the JobKeeper and the JobSeeker funds have been extended. Fantastic to keep people, floating, keep them balancing in the... in the pandemic, that's what it's all about. But yeah, the money going back and being active and keeping businesses alive and spending the money locally, that's what it's all about in the pandemic that we live in. No vaccine for the virus. Have you say yarn up strong here in Daily Program National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Funeral notice here for the passing of Uncle Leonard John Watson, the son of Samuel and Linda Watson, a dearly loved husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, grandfather, brother, brother-in-law, uncle, nephew, cousin, and friend of many, a proud Wiru man of the Birrugubba Nation and a descendant of the Gungulu National Nation. He was a leader, a pastor, mentor, and an advocate in many facets throughout his life within the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. So the family would like for you to join them in celebrating the life and legacy of the beloved husband and father from wife Leah. And children, Linda, Leonie, Veronica, Craig, Rochelle, Matthew and Chrisella. The service will be at Cairns Funeral Directors, 36 Pierce Street, Manunda. And that's on Saturday, 1 August, and that's 11:30 a.m. Now, there's allowed to be 100 people in the church. That's the max, but plenty of people can stand outside, so no numbers there. And then the committal will be at the Forest View Lawn Cemetery, 7985 Forest Road, Mount Sheridan, Saturday 1 August, of course, at 1:30 p.m. And love and thoughts going out to the Watson family there. Have your say, mob. Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry.
Hey, what's get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
What I think is what I feel, what I see is in my dreams, a journey of life and moments seen in this world for you and me. Things won't last and it makes me sad, just makes me sad. 'Cause one day, someday, one day, someday, one day, we will be of time kept in my mind, of days that have gone, still feeling strong, and our world won't fade away, won't fade away. 'Cause one day, someday, one day, someday, one day, we will be together again. With memories that shaped our lives and set us free. Captive moments will always stay in my mind, in my heart. I won't cry and I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. 'Cause one day, someday, one day, no wars, love will open doors, division and hate will come to an end, we'll be your friends and be in peace, be at peace again. 'Cause one day, someday, one day, someday, one day, we will be together again, we will be together again.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416. 416.
Well, there were tall trees growing down to the beach, cool mountain streams running into the sea. Mud crabs, fish, prawns we would eat, sitting under the mango tree. Campfire, clapsticks, didgeridoo, dancing in the sand, come full moon. Come full moon. Keep on dreaming for our country place. Keep on.
Track there, Bidjara Baya. That's Ashley Coleman here on your daily program, National Talk Black. You can have your say by calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns as BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have you say, Yarn Up Strong? Now, gas is very unstable, a foundation on which to rebuild from coronavirus. We're going to catch up a yarn with Lynn Morgane, Oxfam CEO, and talk about the situation regarding gas. A very good morning, Lynn. How are you? Hello, Lynn. You there? Lost Lynn. We'll try and get Lynn back and have a conversation regarding gas and the unstable foundation on which to rebuild coronavirus. So as the recovery from COVID-19 begins, investing in gas will entrench the same problem as coal, is what I'm reading here, including high energy costs, climate change, climate damage and pollution, violations of land rights and a concentration of wealth. A new briefing from Oxfam Australia, it shows that. So we'll catch up with Lynn Morgane and talk about that situation. I'll just check and see if she's on the line now. Lynn, you there? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you going?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Lynn, where are you based?
Melbourne.
Melbourne, okay, shut down. I'm in sunny North Queensland with a pair of shorts and singlet. You must be cold, my sister.
Oh.
Didn't mean to put that out there.
Yeah, you're hurting my feelings.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry. Look, we're talking about gas and its very unstable foundation on which to rebuild from coronavirus crisis. So what we're talking employment and the future and global climate, all the above, yes?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's right. So essentially what we're saying is that now's the moment for us to really move forward with a clean and green economy.
Yes.
And investment in gas is not going to help with that. Gas is problematic for a lot of reasons, but it certainly is much more damaging to the climate than people realise.
So Australia's energy future and the recovery from COVID-19. What are you saying is, like, push gas aside?
We're saying that it's not worth the money that it would cost to invest in gas, and the environmental degradation,
yes,
damage to land is not worth the benefit that we might get from it. There are far better technologies now, and internationally the investment is coming in those other areas. So we're saying it'd be taking a wrong course. It'd be damaging to this country.
Yes.
But also, we don't think it's the way to go in terms of building the future.
Look, it's sad affair that we have a pandemic globally, but First Nation people across the globe are finding that Mother Earth is breathing nice at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. I think that there has been very strong leadership from First Nations communities here in Australia and globally. And I think that maybe through the bushfires this Christmas, there's a realisation that we need to listen to the voices of people who've had custodianship of this land for so long.
And when you're talking about the land and talking about the country, and if not the globe as Mother Earth, it puts a spin on we are all in this together in more ways than one.
This is right. This is right. I think for an organisation like Oxfam, we've realised for a long time that there's a relationship between climate change and poverty, which is why it's dangerous. But what we realise now is that obviously justice for First Nations people, gender justice, economic justice and climate change, they're all part of the same problem. And you're right, Indigenous leadership's been pointing this way for a long time.
And the governments of the world need to take on board to what we're saying as in First Nation people. And when you look at fire as a tool, we've been working with fire for 60,000 years, and we know it's a tool and a powerful tool to regenerate the Mother Earth.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of evidence now that ensuring that custodianship of land is in the hand of people with the knowledge to manage it. And I think, fire is a very good example. And there are many others, aren't there, where, Indigenous communities are building safe futures economically and socially through the use of green technology, some of which do have an ancient application, of course.
So it is a team effort, so to speak, and take on board the future and our children and what we're passing the baton over to our children. We need to give them a sort of a clean slate or a strong future in regard to Mother Earth and life itself, yes?
Yeah, I think there's a growing understanding in the non-Indigenous community of the wisdom of that leadership, the recognition of the need to care for country and to think beyond this generation to that of the ones that are to come that thrive.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your deadly team and your family. Stay safe and stay warm, and we'll yarn soon, Lynn.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. Now. Deadly young there. Lynn Morgane, her name is, Oxfam CEO, and talking about gas and very unstable foundation which to rebuild from coronavirus in regards to the recovery of COVID-19, and begins investing in gas and will entrench the same problems as coal, including high energy costs, climate damage and pollution, violations of land rights and a concentration of wealth. New briefing from Oxfam Australia's Australia shows. Have your say. Mob Yana Strong, 1-800-422-416. We're going across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. And I believe we've got someone on the line. Someone, good morning.
Good morning, brother. All Lives Matter, and as far as the Black Lives Matter protest, and the other one is COVID-19, and we are all in this together, brother.
Yes.
Since the invasion, Black Lives Matter, and it's just somebody come along and said, said the word Black Lives Matter, but we was all under attack. It was all activism, so that's why it does mean something. But somebody else, brother, that said, like I said, it's just somebody come up with the wording, and when they come up with all lives matter, like as far as white fellas go, somebody said that, but he didn't say all lives matter. He got assassinated for it. And that man was named John Lennon. He sang the song "Give Peace a Chance."
Yeah, true too.
Imagine, brother.
And imagine, true. You got a point there, brother.
Yeah. And somebody else that died, Michael Jackson. He was a humanitarian. They forget that, brother. Some of these songs were healing the world, black and white.
Yes.
And Earth song, brother. But he died. And no matter what happens, brother. I just got to look back at when another epidemic. Syphilis, but I put the pox when white people were deliberately giving their illness to minors, black children, because they thought it got rid of the disease. In 1973, the Peel and leprosy white fellows in New Morton Bay the leprosy at Palm Island was closed in 1973, but Peel Island, it was a white fellow leprosy, it closed in 1959. And brother, no matter what, whether it was the pox, whether it was the Spanish flu, COVID-19, brother, racism does not take a back seat, brother. It's always there, and it'll never take a back seat, brother. And it just shows that this, like I said, this 1959, the beauty one closed, and then 1973, the Palm Island was closed. It's always going to be that discrepancy, brother. And although they say we're all in together, we're all in the same boat, brother. We're in the barbed wire canoe, brother. Thank you, brother.
True that. Thank you very much. That's Sullivan having his say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company, your mob. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. But 24/7, you can be in touch with us and have your say and give your opinion. 045-714-0550 is the text number, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Otherwise, your mob, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are in the pandemic, so use the rules that are in front of us. Abide by them, please.